Media Network.
It's Roast with KM Bell and Tom. They're your Roastmasters.
Sounds much better.
Well, I mean, if they're for dramatic intent, I have dramatic intent today.
I bet you do.
I do. So, okay.
All right.
We're kind of doing a free-for-all. I got a couple of things I want to touch on, so I'll go second.
Do you want to... Okay, you want to hit a couple of things. Okay, that's great. Let me know when you want to start recording, because I think this whole thing... Yeah, we could just get going whenever you want.
I started 20 seconds ago.
Good. Good. Studio audience is here.
Thank you very much.
Great. And I was kind of torn between a few things. The one thing that I've really been trying to, it's really hard to keep your equilibrium and keep your attention on the big thing, which is work. And then when you see stuff like this clusterfuck of this cruel healthcare amendment going through and all of the Kabuki theater, 3-4 senators, only 3 or 4, saying that they're against this amendment or this bill, this cruel, horrible fucking bill, no more premiums, higher deductibles, fewer benefits, Medicaid ends as we know it, it's totally unfixable, the deliberate cruelty, the evil, the cruel evil, deliberate to hurt and harm people. Leads me to try to be silly, because that's how I try to deal with matters and things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's kind of where I'm at. Go ahead. I'll toss it back to you.
Oh goodness. which is fine. So there's a lot of things. Now I've been trying to put everything in some sort of insane historical context.
It's not insane.
I find
it's an interesting historical perspective.
Well, I like to follow the lines of how we behave, how our behavior changes over time in America. Mm. Mm. And one of the biggest flips, honestly, is from Republicans and Democrats to taking over each other's agendas. And Democrats, right, 100 years ago were pretty racist douchebags.
Pretty. And
Andrew Jackson being the one I'm going to talk about racist first today.
They owned slaves. Fuck.
Right.
They were the Dixiecrats.
And Republicans were, supported the welfare, tried to help the poor. They were against slavery, all of that. And then it flipped. And it flipped. It started flipping before the Civil Rights Act. Mm-hmm. But that was sort of the end. Because a lot of the Democrats that did sign or that voted for the Civil Rights Act, were racists. But they did it anyway. I don't know why. I've never been able to figure out why. But it passed. And that was the end of the Southern Democrats.
Because Nixon, if you read Perlstein's book on Nixonland, they exploited and took that Dixiecrat populace and converted them into Republicans, who then voted for Nixon and Law and Order in 68. And then 6 years later, Nixon resigning out of shame, also simply because he was a criminal. So there you have it.
Well, that's a good point.
Yes, you're a criminal, please go now. Of course, like the orange motherfucker in office right now.
I'm just saying, and because we're informal, and I'll just get to this whenever, but
yeah, no problem.
When
it's probably better this way too, because simply when I'm way too prepared, I tend to really freeze up, so it's much better to be able to have the flow, because as you're about to embark in your point, Jeff, is the simple fact that brings me back you know, to the words of the great Christine McVie in the song, "You Make Loving Fun," where she sings the lyric, "You make loving fun, but back to you."
Oh, fuck, I like talking to you. God damn it.
See, most people just say, like, what the fuck are you talking about? No. You're just like, it doesn't fucking matter.
You bring me joy, sir. Joy. No, but when was the, go back in history, put your thinking back, because I have been looking. But when in the history of presidents of these United States, 45 now.
And then when we get to women, it's going to be her story.
Okay. We can call it whatever we want. I don't give a shit.
History and her story.
But when in the history of the 45 presidents of the United States so far, have any of them had to get criminal defense attorneys hired inside the first 6 months?
And their attorneys get criminal defense attorneys.
Yeah.
Nobody, I know. I mean, what, Nixon? I don't know.
No.
Well, no. But Clinton had to get an attorney, much more of a defense attorney, pretty much, and then a whole bunch of other.
That wasn't until his second term.
Well, true.
Yeah.
That's true. Until 97, 98.
Yeah. And that was, otherwise he did some depositions and he did have, you know, he did have a lawyer. I got no truck with that. But yeah, the other was it wasn't until, in about halfway through his first, so probably 96.
96 re-election, and then it didn't start coming out until like the first, second week of 98. I think it was maybe late 97, early 98. When Drudge started driving the narrative on the Linda Tripp revelation, and then Monica Lewinsky tumbled out.
Right, as it were.
Yep.
No pun intended. You know, I to this day, and I don't mean this, I do not mean this in a dirty old man kind of way, but I have always felt bad for that kid. I mean, I really, really have.
Fuck, she's got a story. She's got a great story where she said that I was traumatized by Roger Ailes. Roger fucking Ailes took me and used me as a pinata for any and all uses.
Wow.
It's pretty typical. It's pretty typical because the CEO, president of Fox News, built and drove Fox News in its second big drive to become number one. They didn't get over the top then. They pretty much drove a 24/7 machine to drive Clinton out of office and used her pretty much as the pinata. I remember seeing bumpers where they would have video of her going in and out of office buildings or something. And they would play tracks like "Young Girl, Get Out of My Life."
Yeah.
You're way out of line. "Better Run, Girl. You're Much Too Young, Girl." And I'm just going, who the fuck is engineering this shit?
Yeah.
And I know because I knew who was running the place. That's all Ailes. That was all fucking Ailes. And he's dead anyway, so fuck him. Anyhow, I just walked all over what you were going to talk about with Monica, because Monica, yeah, she definitely.
She did. I mean, look, I've always had a thing for girls that are not on the skinny side. You know, I'm just saying, but I really, she got treated unfairly. And I say this and it's funny, but I would have given Bill Clinton a fucking blowjob back then. I would have. Because he's fucking Bill Clinton. And so I'm just saying, of course she did. And by the way, I really don't have a problem with the leader of the free world taking a little fellatio on the side. I think that man or woman, when you are running the country, you should have a little daily head. That's all I'm saying.
Are you turning into Trump?
Yeah. Or fucking Mitch McConnell or fucking Ryan or God forbid, you know.
Mitch McConnell from Kentucky.
Turtle. Turtle. But yeah, I think that ought to be a fucking position at the White House. You got stewards, you got cooks, you got cleaners, you got you know, West Wing staff, and then you got the fluffer. Why not? It makes so much sense. Think about it. Men, women listening right now, after you get a successful completion to some head, do you not feel relaxed and comfortable and hopefully able to either nap or tackle your day? I'm just saying.
Oh boy.
Okay. So
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, is that what I do? Do I say thank you?
Okay, you're all over the place. This started out as a Carson. I have no idea where it ended.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know what's also happening is I'm getting also the audio is mucking up, so I was hoping to vamp that until it cleared itself out.
Oh, I understand. So,
damn it.
In 1839, I'm gonna try and
39.
Yeah, this is probably.
Let me reconnect in just a second here because the connection's all gone to hell.
Okay.
And back. Okay.
It's just a little interlude. Nobody has to know.
Just a little bit.
Okay, so 1839.
Okay. Do we have music? Do we have music for 1839? How about this?
Maybe a little. Maybe a little. I mean, we can go back. We can go back to 1772. In 1772.
1643 did it for me, man.
In the Brits, before the Revolution, Somerset mm-hmm. versus Stuart found that slavery was unsupported by English common law. And that is where the British abolitionist movement came from. So that by the time we got around to winning our little revolution, they were done with slaves. Suck on that, America. So in 1839, Cherokee leaders Major Ridge, John Ridge, and Elias Boudinot. It's a French. Boudinot. Were assassinated. The reason they were assassinated was because they signed the Treaty of New Echota, which resulted in Andrew Jackson's The Trail of Tears.
Now, oh, shit.
For those that don't know, Andrew Jackson, Democrat at the time, was an advocate of what he called Indian removal. As an army general, he had spent years leading these campaigns against the Creek in Georgia, Alabama, Seminoles in Florida, and basically had moved hundreds of thousands of acres of land away from the Indian nations and given them to white farmers. So imagine the Native American shock when Andrew Jackson is elected president of these United States.
Knock me over with a feather.
Right. So in 1830, he signed the Indian Removal Act, and that gave the federal government the power to exchange native-held lands in the Cotton Kingdom east of the Mississippi mm-hmm. for land in the west in the Indian Colonization Zone that the United States had acquired as part of the Louisiana Purchase. This Indian territory is what we now know as Oklahoma. So, if you shut your eyes for just a second and take a big deep breath through your nose, right after somebody farts, you get a good feeling for Oklahoma. If you haven't been there. If you have been there, you know this already.
I have had a couple of neighbors who were from Oklahoma.
So, basically, the law required the government to negotiate the removal treaties fairly, voluntarily, and most importantly, peacefully. Right?
Right.
The law did not permit the president or anybody else to coerce the Native nations off their land. Andrew Jackson totally ignored the law and forced Native Americans to vacate lands they had held for multiple generations. So in the winter of 1831, under threat of invasion from the army, the Choctaw became the first nation to be expelled from its lands altogether. They made the journey to Indian territory on foot, some bound in chains and marched double file. and without any food, supplies, or help from the government. Thousands of them died. Thousands of them died. One Choctaw leader told an Alabama newspaper that it was a trail of tears and death. The Indian removal process continued, and in 1836, the federal government drove the Creek from their land for the last time. 3,500 of the 15,000 of the Creek Nation died on their way to Oklahoma. The Cherokee people were divided. Some wanted to stay and fight. Others thought it was like a better idea to just go and exchange. They'd get some money, maybe some other concessions. We all know now, being able to look back on history, that concessions from the American government to the native peoples of this particular acreage called America now didn't mean horseshit. In fact, it was worse than horseshit because you can use horseshit to fertilize. So in 1835, a few members of the Cherokee Nation negotiated the Treaty of New Echota, which traded all Cherokee land east of the Mississippi for $5 million. Relocation assistance, compensation for lost property. The federal government, the treaty was a done deal, but many of the Cherokee felt betrayed. The negotiators did not represent the tribal government or anyone else. The instrument in question is not the act of our nation, wrote the nation's principal chief, John Ross, in a letter to the U.S. Senate protesting the treaty. This is going to be important for where I shift. We are not party to its covenants. It has not received the sanction of our people. Nearly 16,000 Cherokees signed Ross's petition, but Congress approved the false treaty anyway. And by 1838, only about 2,000 Cherokee had left Georgia, their homeland in what is now Georgia, for Indian Territory. And President Martin Van Buren sent Winfield Scott, general in the army, and 7,000 soldiers to expedite the removal process. Scott and his troops forced the Cherokee into stockades at Bayonet Point, while white folks looted their homes and their belongings. And they marched the Indians more than 1,200 miles to Indian Territory. Whooping cough, typhus, dysentery, cholera, starvation, malnutrition, and dehydration. Epidemic along the way, and historians estimate that over 5,000 Cherokee died as a result of the journey. By 1840, tens of thousands of Native Americans have been driven off their land in the southeastern states and forced to move across the Mississippi to Indian Territory. Federal government promised that their new land would remain unmolested forever. But as the line of white settlement pushed westwards, Indian country shrank and shrank, and by 1907, Oklahoma became a state, and the Indian Territory was gone for good. So, jump forward 150 years or so.
Okay.
And it turns out that we are still treating the native peoples of this land, the first peoples. Native Americans makes them giggle, most of the guys I know.
Most of the guys I know who I've talked love to be, they said that we refer to ourselves as Indians because that's on the treaty. That's on the paper treaty as they referred to us as, and we'll take that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that's, I know some...
Actually, from an actual American Native. First peoples.
First peoples is my preference. Native Americans, they used to tease me all the time when I would call them that. Indians always felt silly and stupid because... Well, to be honest, that makes fun of Spaniards, and I'm okay with that. But what I want to do, because we're coming up on the mark, is take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to tell you about our modern government and how we are still fucking over the Indians.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, let us consider this an outro.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of, hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests, good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to the soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh CoffeeCast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and progressivevoices.com. So until the next podcast brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The CoffeeCast podcast.
I came back in on that. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I took the break in the middle and then let that finish because that was pretty. So what we have now, and I'll touch on this in the opinion part, because there are other examples of shitty behavior by the United States government and frankly by fucking white people. And the last year and a half, 2 years, has seen a movement by the majority of the native peoples, in Utah and surrounding tribes that obviously look at historic and hereditary land versus state lines, because a few of the reservations we have in Utah cross from one state to another. And the Bears Ears National Monument, which is what we have now, took a couple of years, waited till after the election, which was nice, because once upon a time, Bill Clinton wandered into Utah and, using the Antiquities Act, named the Grand Escalante Staircase. And the Grand Escalante Staircase, beautiful chunk of land, really, really pissed off a whole bunch of white people here in Utah, mainly because they were trying to overgraze it. There were gas and mineral rights people were trying to get their hands on, a lot of dirt roads and other off-road things. But one of the things that's nice about the Antiquities Act, or has been until what I'm about to get to, is that once a president says this is a national park, it stays a national park. You can't take that away. That is one of the
till Obama.
Right. But that is and has been up until this point, a national park's a national park. Once named, leave it the fuck alone. And we're talking about a Republican Congress that stole a Supreme Court seat.
Yep.
And is now stealing health care, as you mentioned earlier, from what will end up being in the next 6 years over 24 million Americans. And so who in their right fucking mind would believe that the United States government, which is right now run by white people on the conservative side, well, the Republican side, I think that they're far past whatever conservative used to mean.
They have little to do with democracy, nor are they interested in it, Jeff.
They're doing things for rich people that even rich people are like, could you fucking stop? Even the fucking Koch brothers have entreated these fucking Republicans to knock some shit off. Mostly for the Kochs, it's gay marriage stuff. Which was weird at first, but then I'm like, oh, they're libertarians. They basically want the government to get the fuck out of everything.
True.
Right. So I'm going to say his name wrong or right. I don't give a shit because I don't give a shit about this piece of shit. But the new Interior Secretary, Zinke.
Ryan Zinke.
Right.
former representative from Montana, the lone representative from Montana. When you're from certain states, like I believe it may be Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, you're called at large. Go on.
Yeah.
Not anymore. He's now the Interior Secretary.
So this cockbiter is flying around down in Utah, down around the Blanding area. And what they're looking to do is redraw the lines that President Obama used with the Antiquities Act to name Bears Ears a national monument. And as a national monument with that designation, it means that Utah interests can't put nuclear power plants in it. They can't strip mine it. They can't put oil derricks down in it. Mm-hmm. They have to leave it the fuck alone.
Now, or coal plants.
Right. Now, one of the nice things about areas that get turned into monuments is you start seeing more of a tourist influx. And I'll get to Republicans on tourism in a minute because they don't make any fucking sense because they like everything for fucking free. They don't like to work for shit. And you know what it means when you have tourism come in? It is part of what I call politically free money. You have people come in from out of town, spend a shitload of money on stuff here for people that live here, selling their products from here, and paying sales tax on those things here. All to the benefit of the state. And then those people fucking leave. And the only thing left behind is a little bit of their trash and their money. And so we have impoverished areas, one in particular out here called San Juan County, where, look, there's not fuck all there. And the state does very little to help those folks. And so those guys get pissed because they didn't get any of the fantastic fucking geography that the rest of the state got. They got flat and boring.
There's Eastern Washington, parts of California, Nevada, and parts of Oregon. They go like all the power is centered in the West.
Yeah.
They don't like that.
No.
They don't like that shit.
Look, frankly, there ought to be like retraining and moving assistance for them. The state should put up, hey, you're in San Juan County. You want to get out of San Juan County? Here, do A, B, C, or D, and we will help you move to a place where there are people and jobs and food and shit and fucking grocery stores. But so September of 1996 was when Bill Clinton named the Grand Escalante Staircase. And just this last year, at the end of 2016, Barack Obama named Bears Ears. And the Republicans lost their fucking minds out here. And here's the thing. What they did, Orrin Hatch and the gang, and fucking Jason Chaffetz, is they found five or six folks that were not part of the tribes down here in any way other than they just happen to be related. They're not part of the leadership. They don't live down there. They don't hang out with those people. They don't cotton to the area. But they are Native Americans, and they have the skin color, and they wear the fancy jeans and the cowboy hats, and they walk around with these white fucking Republicans and say, you know, the Native people don't like this idea. But I was down there for the big hearing with the previous Secretary of the Interior, and I saw the vast difference. The numbers, easily 4-1 for the naming of the monument. And those ones, those people that were against it, almost to a person, were white, redneck, peckerwood dickheads. And they were screamy, and they were yelly, and they were disrespectful, and they were rude, and they were threatening. And the folks that were there to stand up for and to ask for a national monument for Bears Ears, they were quiet, and they were thoughtful. And when they got their chance to testify, they were polite. They were in a room that was easily 120 degrees, and the humidity in there was well up into the 90s, which meant I only spent a few minutes in that room and then went out and listened outside where it was 105 and not humid. But that day, down near Blanding, I spent a lot of time with a lot of people. There were several thousand people there that day. And they want that land protected, with an overwhelming majority. And the leaders of the tribes that are all invested in that area and who represent their people in that area want it as well. But in comes, you know, white American lawmaker with a few tokens to walk along arm in arm with them, like they did in the 1800s when they found people that would sign pieces of paper that would doom thousands of others to their deaths. It's the same goddamn thing happening here. Because the first thing that fucking happens when they start drilling holes and digging mines and cutting all this shit up, they're going to poison the groundwater. They're going to poison the air. They're going to fill these little two-lane highways with big fucking trucks. The money's going to disappear from the area because there's not going to be enough jobs to cover all the damage that's done. And here comes fucking Zinke riding around in a fucking Black Hawk helicopter at the bidding of the narcissistic Cheeto, the sentient trans fat named Donald Trump.
I wouldn't even say sentient.
Yeah, that's a good point. But words come out. To basically find a way.
Gas escapes. Pressure is pushed upon himself, and air escapes from him. Gas.
Yeah.
Noxious gas.
Yeah. So they are trying to find any way they can to change something that up until this point has been unchangeable. To the point that my favorite one was Zinke saying, well, when the Antiquities Act popped up, new monuments were only about 400 acres. Now they're big. Fuck you. We have done enough to these people. We have done enough to them. And it really is time for white America to admit to our bullshit and start doing four.
And doing this, right.
This is the least that America can do is to draw a fucking circle around their land and say, we won't fuck this up. Too bad. We're going to put in some parking lots. We're probably going to put in a lodge or two. But for the most part, we're going to keep this from turning into poison fucking land. And it is the gall, the sheer fucking gall of white Republicans and libertarians that have decided that patch of dirt right there could make some money before it's fucking useless. And that money goes to white people, and therefore it belongs to us. We want to roll back more historic protections for things that have happened than we ever have before. We want to add to the theft of a Supreme Court seat the violation of the letter of the law of the Antiquities Act to make sure that Native Americans get fucked again by white America. Years ago, not too many years ago, about a decade back, there's a tribe out here in northern Utah that owns Skull Valley that signed a deal to store really nasty nuclear waste on their land about 80 miles southwest of Salt Lake City. And this is where I see the good and the bad in activism. And people in Utah lost their fucking minds. They screamed and they yelled and they jumped up and down and they made the fucking phone calls and they wrote the goddamn letters. And after a few months of coordination and having the government pop out and ask the questions and pay attention to the answers, the state of Utah blocked the transport of that poisonous toxic material into Utah to the point where we wouldn't even let the company out here that handled that stuff handle shit this nasty. Now, this could have gone two ways. Having blocked that, the people of Utah could say, yay, draw a line, call it victory, and go the fuck home. Or they could ask why. Why in the fuck would anybody volunteer to have that shit stuck in their backyard and do something about the problem that made a group of people so goddamn desperate that they were willing to basically die 10, 20, 30 years earlier than normal to store this shit so that they could have basic fucking human services like food, water, electricity, and sewage. And the people of Utah did exactly what the fuck you think they did. They declared fucking victory and they walked off. And the Ghost Ute are still down there on their shitty fucking reservation, still being ignored by the state of Utah, still being ignored by the federal government until they make a little bit of noise, still needing these basic infrastructure pieces that the poorest motherfucker in backwater hayseed Alabama get. Because the American government and the people that live here are in the majority insanely racist to the last group of people that do not seem to have a voice loud enough to point at that racism and say, knock it the fuck off. The last time you saw any kind of an insane stunt to try and bring any kind of attention for change was Brando's Oscar in, what was it, 74, 76?
I think it might have been 72, 73, yeah, when he had Shoshin Littlefeather come up and take the award for him because he refused based upon the treatment of American natives.
Right. And that's where we are. I got Trumpies running around my fucking state talking about rolling back the protections of the Antiquities Act to make sure that a people who, to a person that I have met, and I have spent time with hundreds and hundreds of Native Americans in my lifetime, and I have never, ever, ever been treated shitty by any of them, and I know for a fact that at least half of them could not possibly like me because of who I am. I'm an asshole.
Sure.
And it's, I'm not trying to draw or paint with a wide brush that they're all fucking great people. They got assholes too, but they got problems, and they got problems that, you know what? The poorest white motherfucker in America has access to services and that safety net that Native Americans do not have. We took them prisoner 150 years ago and we are still treating them shitty now. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult to act with some goddamn drop of humanity.
Decency, but, humanity, empathy.
Empathy, you can't get a Republican to do empathy.
No, of course not. It's impossible for them to step into somebody else's shoes.
See, let me give you an example like this. So, and this is a couple of years back, and they've since decided it was a bad idea and quit doing it, even though it was working. But Republicans in Utah figured out that it was cheaper to build apartments, give people showers, new clothes, job training, and get them off the streets than it was to deal with them as constant homeless people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they built the apartments, they did the job training, they tidied folks up, they got them the basic health care that they needed so that they could reintegrate back into society, and it worked fantastically until they fucking canceled the programs. And it saved hundreds of thousands of dollars on what it cost for emergency services, police services, and stuff like that, right?
And how many lives.
Right. So when you look at that, and you look at the homeless folk, and you look at the money that was spent versus the money that could have been spent had they kept taking care of them, the less money, you have all that. But when you look at Native Americans that are still on non-casino reservations, we don't spend enough that you can use that goddamn math, that fiscal fucking math. The only goddamn thing in the world that'll pluck the heartstrings of a fucking Republican is we'll save money, which means rich people get more. We spend so little on the Native nations that you can't even use the math we used to try and give homeless people fucking showers and clean pants.
Right.
It's not there.
Right.
And who the fuck is making noise? It's assholes like me once in a while. Because I know, and I am ashamed of it, but I know that I am beating my head against a deaf fucking wall when I start making these kind of noises. It is so insane how quickly 99 out of 100 eyes will glaze and roll when you start talking about the Indian nations and how they should be treated and how they are still treated poorly.
They are invisible.
They are.
They don't exist. They're not supposed to exist. They're in the past. That is what they have been conditioned to believe.
So while we're all standing here legitimately whining about pre-existing conditions and available, affordable health care, there's tens of thousands of people across the United States that aren't even given those basic pieces, those building blocks. Imagine, and you know what? There are still problems on casino reservations. I don't want to make it sound like throwing a casino on a reservation is going to fix anything, because it won't. For the most part, it will fix some things. That money's still going to flow to a select few. More will have jobs. There will be some better health care, and usually infrastructure gets better in those areas. But we have destroyed their culture. We have pretty much done our best to eradicate their traditions and their language. And now we're just letting them fucking starve to death? I can't. It's so easy. It's exactly what we should have done when Charlie Wilson got the Russians out of Afghanistan. Build roads, build schools, build clinics. Give them what they need to stand up on their own, as opposed to running around with thousands and thousands of pounds of emotional baggage that white people have put on them as we try to pretend that they're not a concern. It would be so easy, and in the long run, it would be so inexpensive, and we would save a beautiful thing. We would save the culture of tribe after tribe from one coast to the other, and they can't have it because we're too busy pretending that that problem isn't here. Look at the billions of dollars we send, you know, to the sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
1 year, and I'm not saying we shouldn't send that. Please don't make that mistake. But one fucking year of that much money could build so many schools and so many clinics and pay for teachers and doctors to finally live up to even the smallest fucking promise of any broken treaty written by white America over the last 250 fucking years.
And I can tell you, Jeff, that from observation of living in Alaska, that when oil was discovered and in huge quantities on native territory, treaties were drawn up and corporations were formed for each one of the districts of Alaska. Corporations were formed that natives would run themselves. A permanent fund was established so that the oil revenues would actually have a certain payout to everybody, but most of all to the natives who lived in Alaska. So they got schools, and there were roads that were built, and there were communities that were built in the time of that rush. Now, just because you don't have any of that, any of those resources, they don't give a shit. And so what they would much rather do is run them all down.
Yeah. It is much like my student loans. It is easier to ignore a problem than it is to pay.
It's easy to ignore a problem, keeping it at arm's length. And don't you tell me you're Christian. Don't you dare tell me that you succumb to a higher power, that you kneel and you pray. You facetious, fake Christians. You people who you Betsy DeVos's and your gas bag Trumps, your Ryan Zinkes, all of you people, the things that you do, the destruction that you cause, the pain and the suffering, you do nothing. You don't create. You don't benefit other people. You do nothing of that. All you do is just line your own pockets. You are the merchants at the temple. You scream and you proselytize and you knock over powers and you take the power and the money all for yourself.
You
are your own God. You don't worship any God greater than yourself.
Remember,
so don't tell me the next time you come along and you say, we're doing God's work. God has nothing to do with you. God's away on business every time you call.
Or you know, a pederast trip to Thailand. It's probably where God is. But, you know, when Moses went up the mountain and communed with the burning bush, marijuana, by the way, he was smoking dope. And he came back down and he found that his people in the, what I can only assume, considering how long he was lost in the desert, at least months was up in the mountain talking to the bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down and he found that they were worshiping golden idols. God's anger and wrath was not because the idols were shaped like a cow. It's because they were made out of gold.
And they worshiped the gold.
They worshiped the money.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't get mad at priests at the temple. He didn't get mad at homeless people begging at the temple.
He got mad at their misappropriation. He got mad at their worship of you have. This is the one thing that really fucking gets me, is that to enter the temple, enter his father's house, you had to pay money first in order to get in.
Yep.
And that's the one thing that really, really fucking set my teeth on edge. When my dad died and he wanted to have a Catholic service, we went back and forth on the simple fact that we couldn't afford a casket. He couldn't afford a casket. He was cremated. The church didn't want him cremated. And then they wanted to have us pay for a special place to put him in. We eventually put him into a veteran's mausoleum. Eventually. So that got taken care of. But they wanted to put him in at we had to pay. They wanted us to pay. Well, fuck you. That's the same thing. That's the same fucking thing. What difference is that between that and Jesus and the merchants in front of the temple? You must pay before you enter the house of God, if you believe in God.
Sure. I'll tell you what. I'll throw this out just as a little side to kind of calm us down a little before we go to break.
Yeah, well, this is great.
We're both a little venom spitty right now, which is great because that's what needs to happen. But
this is a roast.
I just married a couple of friends, and
congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
They were. I mean, it was great. It was a wonderful. You know, Taylor
Saker.
Taylor Santon Saker. Last name now Stapleton. I always thought he was going to take her name. I don't understand that, but I married them.
Some friends. I had a couple of friends who took their hyphenated last names together. I think that's adorable.
Oh, what was the guy, the mayor of Los Angeles, that basically took his last name and his wife's last name and kind of mushed them together? Villarosa?
Villarosa?
That guy.
Villarosa? Villarosa. For all you fake Spanish pronouncers out there like me.
So I'm a minister, Universal Life Church, proud member. Because they said, do you believe in God? They just said, oh, you want to be a minister? Cool. And every month I get a newsletter that isn't preachy at all. It's like, hey, here's some cool shit that's happening in the world. Have a happy day. I mean, it should have been the Flying Spaghetti Monster, but the Flying Spaghetti Monster, to be one of their priests, cost $20, and I didn't have it at the time. So anyway, I'm a minister. So I get up, and I've done a few of these over the years, and I'll sit down and I'll spend a week or two and I'll write out a nice service. I'll chat with the folks I'm going to marry and kind of get to know them a little bit and personalize it, put a little shine on, you know, I want to make it special. This is their big day. Mm-hmm. Hopefully their only big day. Probably. I think for Taylor and Ben, this will be their only day, but for most everybody else, they might get one or two. But so anyway, I did it and it was good and it was nice and I looked really good.
God, I look good. I looked at that mirror, and that mirror looked back at me, and it liked me.
But, and then I went and sat down and waited for they hired a pizza truck as a caterer. Stone-fired pizza. Oh, dude, it was fucking awesome. But I was waiting for that to happen. When the father of the bride came over and palmed me some cash. And I was like, oh, no, what are you doing? Nobody's like, No, it's a tip. I'm like, oh, I don't, no, please don't. I insist, no. And a little bit of an exchange went, and at which point a couple other people are like, well, what did you charge? And I'm like, I don't charge. Am I, what? And so it went kind of around robin where everybody's like, oh, yeah, our minister was this much money, and our minister was that much money. And, you know, one of the things about being in Utah, even though I'm not a good Mormon anymore, is our lay clergy doesn't charge money to do these particular services.
Mm.
But ministers all over the place do. I'm just like, hey, you gonna feed me? Bitching, I'm there. In fact, I did one.
Feed me. That's it. That's great.
I did one where the bride and groom couldn't afford to pay me and really, really tried to get me to come anyway. I'm like, guys, you're fine. Go enjoy your new married life. So yeah, that was weird to me. I mean, I kind of knew, but it had never popped up. So I did. I kept the cash because he ran away and wouldn't let me give it back. but yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I just can't imagine charging money for it. I just can't. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, I mean, that's just it, man. Is everything that has any bit of a religious flavor.
Like the others. Yeah, you're unlike the Monsignor that I had to deal with. He did like my eulogy. I will give him that. But everything else, that really frosts my begonias. And so I guess that after you were done marrying Taylor and her new beau, I guess they had a song and it went like this.
Mama liked to party when you were in her belly, drinking she did some. Mama liked to party when you were in her belly, that's why you are dumb.
Should we go to break?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's take a break.
Excellent.
You going to play us out?
I think so.
Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it. But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So... go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
Speaking of, because we were talking about this on the break, I had a rant about fucking Air America the other day.
Oh, no.
Actually,
really?
It might have been yesterday. I'll tell you what my problem with Air America is, sir.
Well, where to begin? I just want to let you know that just before we go, that we are also carried on as on-demand on ProgressiveVoices.com. And Progressive Voices, of course, is the pro streaming 24-hour, you know, progressive network. A lot of the people who started that started Air America. And, right. You know, because of them, that pretty much gave me my impetus for doing what we're doing today. So
well, then, by all means, let me fire up this one a little hotter in case they're listening.
Okay.
Actually, my pissy about Air America is it was too soon. Had they began that and pushed it as an internet push model...
That
worked its way out to terrestrial radio, as opposed to having a very expensive roll call that they had to try and finance while they looked for advertisers for something nobody had done before, and then they tried to find terrestrial stations to staple themselves at.
And also the other thing about them, too, is that they sold it as a full block.
Yeah.
Instead of piecemealing it, which would have been a lot smarter, but they know all that.
Well, yeah. Like NPR does. That's one
yeah,
of their
I mean, look what they do. It's brilliant how they market.
Yeah. And so that's, I mean, that's just kind of where it's at is...
Well, it's all push model now. It's all podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if streaming, I mean, here I am on the home network, you know, Netroots Radio, and, you know, we're a pull network, you know, that's all 24-hour streaming, yeah. And, you know, I'm just going, well, I don't know, what do people listen to? Is it all what I think it is? Is it all podcast? I don't know. What do I know?
Yeah, I don't listen to shows anymore. I listen to podcasts. I do a little TV news in the morning, and I do a little bit, you know, if I'm in the car and I've forgotten to download something. Ever since I joined fucking Google Fee, I've had a problem. But which I mean is a totally different problem. I've got a 12-year-old with no phone because I bought an LG Nexus for my kid. And this is a lifeline from my kid to his friends, and like I have a transgendered son, and if he can't talk to his friends, you know, that climbs on top of him. That starts to fuck with his head.
Yeah.
The phone broke more than a month ago, and I called the insurance because we had insurance on it, and they're like, okay, here's how this works: take it to get repaired, and then you send us the bill, and we reimburse you. And I'm mad about that, but I'm like, okay, fine. That sounds like Affleck bullshit. I'll do it anyway. So I took it to four different shops, and none of them would touch the Nexus phone. And then I finally took it to the only place in town that not only would touch it, but had a reputation for it doing a good job. They had it for 3 weeks, and I just found out 2 days ago they can't fix it.
Fuck! No! And, really?
Yeah, so it's been a month now. Now, here's the problem, is in the month that those guys had the phone, the one-year warranty on it breezed past about 10 days ago. And so I call the fucking insurance company again, and they're like, well, now it's a warranty issue because it can't be fixed with LG. And I said, well, you're my 2-year warranty, and we are now into that space, so why don't you guys replace the phone? What's my deductible? They're like, no, because the phone broke, and we know that it broke before the warranty was up, it is a problem for LG now, and they need to replace the phone. LG says, no, you're past your warranty. So your insurance company has to pay for the phone. And reminding me again of a story I've been telling a lot lately when NBC fucked up $40,000 worth of shit that I rented them. And when I threw a tizzy fit, the lawyer said, what are you going to do? Sue NBC? What the fuck am I going to do? Am I going to a nameless, faceless fucking insurance company attached to a goddamn phone through Amazon? Or am I going to fucking call LG? Am I going to sue them? How the fuck do I get my kid a phone? I don't have $500 for a new fucking phone. So I'm not sure how I ended up going down this fucking rabbit hole, but I'm pissed again. I have a sad kid in the house, man. That's not working for me.
Let me try to... Let me try to turn up the heat a little bit more and make things a little bit more angry. This is about a week old, but I'll pick up the ball on this one. And although, yeah, how did we ever get here? How did we wind up in this morass? This you know, are we this dysfunctional autocracy that we are in? How did we ever get here? By the way, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Fox News is dropping its fair and balanced slogan. I know this is about a week old, but from the criminologist Gabriel Sherman in New York Magazine wrote last week, as Fox moves further into the post-I Am Dead Roger Ailes era, the network is shedding one of its most iconic elements, according to the network executives. Fox News has abandoned its marketing slogan, fair and balanced. The decision was made last August after Hale's ouster by Fox News co-president Jack Abernathy, who is also gone, I believe, because the phrase had been mocked. Oh, my God. It was mocked, you snowflakes. Another executive complained that the tagline was too closely associated with Roger. There's a lot of stuff associated with Roger. Your entire fucking network. Fox executives have been instructed by the management to market the network by its other tagline. Most watched, most trusted. Two things not necessarily true. MSNBC is eating your dinner. and your lunch. Also, as far as trust is concerned, it's in the eye of the beholder, especially the people who watch you. It's hard to overstate the significance of what shedding fair and balanced means for Fox News. It'd be like the New York Times giving up all the news that's fit to print. Ailes invented the slogan when he launched Network in 1986, which, of course, that he also did with a pair of other political advertising people, although I'm talking to you, Tom Messner, of the agency Messner, Vettere, Berger, McNamee, Schmetterer, which is now URSCG. Okay. I remember that guy, like, there used to be, like, ad boards on AOL, and that guy, I knew he was in the Tuesday Club, which was the organization that did ads with Hal Reiny for Reagan and Bush. You know, just like, I'm going to get a piece of you. So fucking get a piece of you, dude. So anyway, he helped come up with, you know, world's most powerful network, or, you know, or fair and balanced or whatever. He'd call a group of senior producers and make you watch a channel, and he'd point out stuff with a banner that was slightly liberal, the senior producer told me. Then he would say, the news is... Let me try to do this, see if I can do his voice.
The news is like a ship. If you take your hands off the wheel, it pulls hard to the left.
Ailes also used his fair and balanced when making hiring decisions, saying a job candidate wasn't fair and balanced because the person went to college, to a college he didn't like. In the annals of modern broadcasting, fair and balanced, or advertising, will be considered a classic. I don't think so. It will die a horrible death like I hope it should. The slogan was Ailes' cynical, and again, he uses another word to describe him, genius, at its most successful. Well, go fuck yourself. While liberals mocked the tagline, and I still do, it allowed Ailes to give viewers the appearance of both sides being heard, when in fact, he made sure producers staged segments so that the conservative viewpoint always won. And with that in mind, let us talk about Mr. Tobin Smith in Medium, Fear and Unbalanced, the confessions of a 14-year Fox News hitman. Now, this is the story of a guy who was brought on to Fox News to just simply be a hitman and just come on and try to make liberals look bad. And he actually knows where the bodies are buried and describes all this in this piece in Medium. And I'm still not exactly, you know, warming up to this, but I'm going to bring it out. And I'm going to talk about this. Okay. So it's about how Ailes and News got rich scamming America's lazy boy cowboys and selling out America's soul. Oh, you are so compassionate. Since his death, and frankly, that death couldn't have happened anytime sooner, many folks have asked me about my 14 years at the Fox News, or as I like to say, the Fox News, and my experiences with Roger Ailes. I can tell you that he was one of the top five best public speakers I ever heard. Oh, I can tell you, like, anyone who knew him, he was funny.
So this is a dude that never went to TED Talks and hasn't heard of TED Talks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never heard him at TED Talks. I've been in business. He also prized loyalty above all else. I prize loyalty. I value loyalty. And all else that repaid loyalty in spades countless times. See a pattern here, dear listener? But in 2000, when I started at Fox as a paid contributor, a.k.a. hitman, and asked my new boss, "So, Roger, tell me, who is your Fox News target and what turns him on?" What he told me, of course, was off the record, which shouldn't be shocking. But now that he is dead and buried, it is time to be real and tell the truth about Fox News. Excuse me, you couldn't fucking... Oh, that's right. You would get slagged by them. I know. They have an entire PR department that goes after people. Everything I lived and experienced in my 14 years as a paid contributor and part-time anchor on the Fox Business Network. According to Roger, "Toby, I created a TV network for people 55 to dead. What does your viewer look like? Okay. What do they want to see? They look like me. White guys in mostly red state counties who sit on their couch with a remote in their hand all day and night. They want to see you tear those smug, condescending, know-it-all East Coast liberals to pieces, limb by limb until they jump out of their lazy boy and scream, 'Way to go, Toby. You killed that libtard.'" He didn't tell me what he told. Let's see, who is this? Oh, that's right. Joan Walsh from, at the time, Slate.com, who recently reported her brief one-time conversation discussing a new, more liberal show idea, as she shared in her Nation article. And Joan, they don't want to see anybody like you looking directly at my liberal friend. They don't want to see you. They don't even want to know that you exist. Well, it's obvious now. Partisan conservative politics staged and acted out as performance art was Roger's gift to America. Above all else, Roger understood and practiced the concept of culture trolling before the term trolling even ever became commonly used. But he not only created an alternative partisan or Parmesan universe for mostly older politically partisan red zip code living white males. For your information, the average age of the Fox viewer today is 68, which means a lot of FNC viewers are older than 68. He perpetrated the biggest TV scam ever against the most vulnerable and gullible senior Americans, one that makes the game show Fixing Scandal of the late 50s resemble a tea party. The media obsesses on the obvious. It's not just that in Roger's alternative world, visuality mattered. The competition was audio-only conservative talk radio, so adding another media dimension was its core strategy. But what mattered at Fox most was to create an entertainment product out of the political, military, economic news and opinion that by careful design and staging, Fox News manipulated and ultimately addicted and weaponized information, the most vulnerable people in America, to the most powerful drug cocktail ever. Now, this is what he says. I'm not necessarily wrapping myself in agreement with this, but it goes like this. Visceral gut feelings of existential outrage relieved by the most powerful emotion of all, the thrill of your tribe's victory over its enemy and the ultimate triumph of what they perceive as good over evil. Indeed, in effect, Fox News turned our democracy and politics into performance art and efficiently sold the soul of America to the highest bidder in return for two-minute ad sequences aired during the performance intermissions. Sure, Rogers. Women in Roger's world were mostly blonde. Mostly blonde. They're all blonde and wore short, tight skirts and lower cut tops with makeup and hair right from a high end strip club. All they needed was just the bar. No, they needed the stripper pole. Visuality, as Roger always said, counts for big TV ratings. Many times when I was on set, Roger would call down from his second floor office, packed with TV screens, to tell female anchors during breaks, I have a call from you from the second floor to tart it up, tease up, and necklines down. I'm not going to entertain what the fuck the rest that is. For the non-endowed female anchors, this meant being required to wear an uplifting water bra while on set to meet Roger's idea of what a female host on Fox should look like. The older the hosts got, the bigger the water bra and the longer the hair slash eyelash extensions got too. But what the mostly older, trusting, small city, rural, living Fox News fan never seemed to understand about Fox's partisan performance art programming was this. The outcomes for the panel debates have always been carefully fixed by the producers so that the home team, the conservative panelists, always won. More simply, the staged gladiatorial-like rhetorical fight to the death the Fox News viewer loves to watch are always fixed by the show producers for the conservative actor to win. Wait for it. One, two, three. Always. Just like pro wrestling, the panel opinion programs are carefully staged and choreographed by Fox producers so that the viewers' home team, in other words, the WWE language, the babyface, always wins over the heel, a.k.a. the poor, pathetic libtard. Fair and balanced was not just an iconic tagline. The opinion debate segments have always been a staged scam with a scripted narrative and a storyline almost exactly like pro wrestling. In fact, when Fox hired friend WWE superstar John JBL Layfield as a paid contributor, a WWE guy? Are you fucking kidding me? I chuckled to myself every time he and I would perform on our weekly show, Bulls and Bears. It was too perfect. It's always been a scam, the Fox News tagline. should be just fear and unbalanced. Roger knew it was easy to manipulate fear and loathing in an elderly audience raised on three broadcasting channels, CBS, NBC, and ABC plus PBS. They grew up trusting the news and Walter Cronkite. He knew better than anyone coming from a small conservative town in Ohio that in their endless desire to confirm the righteousness of their right-wing tribalism, they would never see the big lie perpetrated every day to them by Fox News on their beloved TV screen. Them lie to us? Never! The Fox News opinion panel scam works like this. More often than not, in my panel segments, I was the protagonist or designated hitman, a.k.a. the one called on by the host, as instructed by the producers in my ear, or of the ear of the host, to, quote, kill him. You know I was the designated hitman when the panel show hosts tossed the final death blow 15 to 20 seconds to me when they said, Toby, you've got the final word. But before I delivered the final rhetorical death blow, understand the producer of the segment had given me my script 24 hours before the show started. I knew 24 to 48 hours in advance of taping how the designated liberal was going to argue his or her point, and more important, how I was going to win the day with our partisan audience. At Fox News, conservative contributors were expected to play their designated role on the air, especially on the O'Reilly Factor. O'Reilly was the only on-air talent that, when you were a guest expert on the show and on the Fox payroll, told you what he wanted you to say. He would literally come into your earpiece before the hit piece, a.k.a. appearance on a Factor segment, and say, Smith, here's how it's going to go down. You said last time oil prices were going to go higher. I said lower. Well, they're lower, and I'm going to blame the oil companies. Your bid is to support them. Capiche? Well, he was dead wrong, and I told him that, and his answer was like, is this the Tobin Smith show? If it is, say what you want, but if this is the O'Reilly show, you give them what I want. Okay, Bill. And that was the last time I was on the Factor after 40-plus appearances. Linda Chavez, a longtime Fox conservative contributor, basically became a non-person when she took the position in favor of more legal immigration, even though her position had been consistent for 30-plus years and is based on her belief in markets over central planning. As Linda tells the story, one producer basically told me it was confusing to have me on to discuss the subject because conservatives were supposed to be for less immigration and liberals for more. Another time, O'Reilly spoke in my earpiece from New York when I was in the DC studio to warn me not to confuse everybody with a lot of facts and statistics. You have your facts and I have mine, so keep it general. Key point. If your role on Fox News is to be a conservative, you are to be expected to play that role if you are getting paid as a contributor. If you are an unpaid conservative, and don't act like one on the air, your number is lost and your Fox talking head career is over, period. At Fox, all the actors are expected to play their roles according to their partisan political ideology. In the 8-minute Performance Art Act that was being staged for the delight of greater than 68-year-old men in small-town America. And what about those designated liberals that they used to call libtards on the shows? I can tell you, with very few exceptions, that a big part of the Fox News fair and balanced scam was also built from this reality. Articulate, principled, worldly liberals, especially women, don't exist in Roger's Fox News world. The designated liberal job was simple. Make the viewer so enraged from the recitation of hated liberal progressive ideology, or rather, theology that the Fox viewer, of course, had been taught to hate from decades of listening to thousands of hours of conservative talk radio, that the viewer literally felt like throwing a brick through my TV screen. Key point. The viewer's rage set their brain's pleasure, giving them dopamine delivery system into high gear, and when their fellow conservative protagonist tribal hero, a.k.a. me, the hitman, turned the liberals' own words against them and vanquished the sniveling apostate into living hell on live TV, wow, the pleasure chemical rushed through the Fox's viewer's brain like a deep hit of crack cocaine. Anyway, it's the dopamine system in the brain that cocaine stimulates, and that's what makes it so addictive. That's what he thinks. The other reality of Fox opinion programming is even more diabolical than simply fooling old people into believing that they are watching a, quote, fair fight. The goal is explicit. Produce outrage and inducing partisan performance art and sufficient emotional intensity to produce enough pleasure dopamine to get their dopamine-addicted viewer the high they need until the next Fox News opinion program. Neuroscience has known for years that news junkies or political junkies were in fact addicts, junkies, who got their addictive dopamine hit from the emotional roller coaster of unbridled outrage, followed by the dopamine-releasing experience derived from the thrill of watching the victory, denouement of the ideological apostate. In short, there is no better feeling in life than when a person's existing beliefs are attacked and then a smart-sounding expert proves you right all along. Fox News turns this process of ideological attack and ultimate victory of the righteous into partisan performance art of steroids. Yes, one part of the Fox News strategy is the tried and true conservative media narrative to insulate their audience from opposing views. In fact, by continually denouncing mainstream media, any other news sources, 24/7, 365, as liberal, biased, not to be trusted. Fox, of course, also allows the traditional conservative partisan good guy, bad guy narrative in general, as longtime Fox and Friends host Bob Sellers shared with me. Most of the stories on the morning show had a good guy and a bad guy, and the anchor was the middle side of justice. This gave every story a narrative that followed through to the end of the story to the next news cycle. I always knew to pick the good guy and follow the narrative through. You could almost say anything as long as it was followed, that good guy, bad guy narrative, and you saw justice. It's actually what he thinks is brilliant in providing the dopamine hits to the viewers. But the Fox News viewer takes their addiction strategy and techniques to a much more unseemly level that the academic liberal studies like this Yale News release miss that he's actually talking about. I don't have a link for that. At Fox, it's not just turning politics and partisan tribalism into performance arts. The Fox programming scam is way much more contrived and even more sinister. The game is to simply manipulate the emotions and trust of their elderly and gullible senior audience. So he goes on and on quite a bit. And I just wanted to conclude and just let you know that this was a piece written by him. It says, in conclusion, most Fox News fans seem to think that liberals always lose because they are inferior. But in reality, at Fox News, political and economic opinion programming is nothing more than a scripted, fixed outcome, partisan performance art product, a parallel universe silo-morphed into a scripted entertainment mashup of WWE and ESPN. Roger Ailes created and directed the scam for 20 years, and I am sure it is somewhere still critiquing the on-air talent cleavage and denouements of the designated liberals by the designated righteous hitmen like me. And that was by Tobin Smith, and that I drew out of bits and pieces out of Medium.
Well,
we all knew that, Tom.
None of this. Yeah, I'm like, oh, hey, you're saying a thing that we already knew if you watched Outfoxed at any point.
Yeah, we already figured that all out. But what's nice is that from the inside, somebody said, yes, you've been right all along.
Yeah, well, whatever. I already knew I was right. That's just part of being me. I'm sitting here being right in all my rightness. I don't know. Well, okay. So now instead of angry, I'm just exacerbated and wondering what the fuck a point is. So
here's a big news break.
We've gotten to the end.
You just let that play out forever. That's the old ABC radio news sounder. I don't have any news break or anything. You could just go to a break.
I do. I don't think it's a break, dude. We are at the end. We are actually, for our 45-minute show, we have now gone an hour 20.
I'm not surprised.
Me either. It's, look, it's, a little bit of righteous indignation.
It was a good show. It was a great show.
I can tell by all the applause that the people are giving us right now. They have pulled over one of the sides of the roads across America and beyond. the left side of the road in England, they are applauding. They're happy to have listened. And hopefully what they're doing right now is getting on the phones to their senators and Congress critters to complain about the news of the day, because it's a podcast. Who knows what the fuck's going on when people listen to this? Right now, it's we're about to get screwed on healthcare, and the Native American plight is now almost 200 years old, 250 years old. Maybe it's time for you guys to, I don't know, call a fucking senator and make a complaint about that. And while you're at it, call your governors and call other people's governors and call your state legislators as well.
Call everybody.
Don't sign fucking petitions. Don't sign online forms. Don't do that contact us, fill out this form bullshit. Nobody's paying attention to that. You got to call. And the worst part is, and we will talk about this next week, I hope, if I remember, it was an article I read today on Vox where basically Republicans have said, we're not even giving a shit about phone calls anymore. We won. We'll do what we want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They wouldn't even do. Yeah, they don't give a shit about town halls or anything. They've long been running away from those.
Yeah. So we're all fucked.
Yep. So.
But my youngest asked me if we could move to Finland. And I said, it's cold and windy there. I like cold and windy. Okay. Wouldn't you rather move to Seattle?
Finland, land where I want to be.
I got to go. A
great Python song called Finland. I got to go
tell that kid what the fuck lutefisk is, and maybe that'll change his mind. Mm. But in the meantime, I got to find him a fucking phone. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah. So,
all right, buddy.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then let's see if we can finish this out with the most important song of all, Finland. Okay, and here we go.
Finland, 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 the country where I want to be, pony trekking or camping, or just watching TV. Finland, 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 it's the country for me, you're so near to Russia, so far from Japan, quite a long way from Cairo, lots of miles from Vietnam. Finland, 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 the country where I want to be, eating breakfast or dinner, or snack lunch in the hall. Finland has it all. You're so sadly neglected and often ignored, up or second to Belgium when going abroad. Finland, 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 the country where I quite want to be, your mountains so lofty, your treetops so tall. Finland, 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 Finland has it all. Oh, together, Finland files! Finland, 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 the country where I quite want to be, your mountains so lofty.
Yes, that's just, let's just end that.
I want to go to Finland now. I'm out of here. What do they speak there? Finnish?
Finnish?
I can finish.
Now we can.
When I'm on my own. I can finish in less than 3 minutes.
And this is how we finish, Chef. We finish with finish.
Less than 3 minutes.
Awesome. Until next time. What a wonderful show. Thanks for listening.
That was all right. Hey, I managed to get through another one without swearing at all. Not one swear word out of my mouth.
Wow. Awesome.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and boiling diesels, steam and bodies.
Okay, ready? Go. Do the spontaneous thing.
Mm. And now, we're here with J.M. Bell.
Was that spontaneous? How do you do a spontaneous jazz band?
Hang on. You're not behaving.